Putting the ain't in saint, you're listening to Canada's most listened to spiritual talk show. And now here's your host, Drew Marshall.
Mother, there's too many of you crying. Brother, there's far too many of you dying. You know we've got to find a way to bring some loving here today.
Did he sing this song for his dad?
Don't know. I know they didn't get along.
That's kind of a little bit at the kind of where there. I was going there. Hey, folks, you're listening to the Drew Marshall Show, folks. And folks, if you want to listen to our show online, folks, you can go to the Drew Marshall Show website, folks, which is drewmarshall.ca.
/folks.
I have a friend who listens and says, "Dude, you say folks way too much."
We should put up a little sign, like a little reference
Don't say
sign.
Folks? Yeah, that's not going to steer me away.
Other options. Remember I gave you that list of options?
Yeah, but your options were goofy. What
no,
did you
they're
say,
not.
Posse?
They're the cool kids. See, when I said squad, these two, they were like, yeah, whatever. Bullet, what?
You'll listen to you.
Hanging out in B-Town. Teaching up in B-Town, brother.
Anyway, it's time for the pub crawl, and that's where we crack open a few topics, crawl from topic to topic, and eventually get to some kind of resolution. Never on the Drew Marshall Show. I want to introduce you to a few friends of mine that I've known for a long, long time. I would like to introduce the lady of the group first, Jessica Rodriguez. I first met her when I was 17 years old and ran away to California and ended up working at a place called Woodlake Ranch Christian Camp down in the foothills of the Sierra Nevadas. J-Rod, what's up?
Hey.
Hey. That's what a gay horse eats. Anyway, Jessica, what's the weather like down there? Is it winter Central Valley fog this morning?
Not this morning, and we actually had a little bit of clearing because there's little tiny pockets of drizzle here and there.
You've had a lot of rain though, haven't you?
Yeah, this week
I thought California was in drought situation.
No, I know, but that's why everyone's so stoked.
Yeah.
But there's is there any water in the river?
No.
No, you'd have to have so much rain. That river, I can't remember the last time that it had water in it. That river. Sorry,
no,
excuse us.
Why do you call it a river?
Yeah, it's just called a sand bed.
It's pretty much a sand bed now. It's pretty sad. It's really sad over here. But yeah, it's with the weather has been great this week with all the rain. However, it's really sad to see it so dry and then, you know, all this rain come in, and it's great, but you know, it is what it is.
Jessica was my first, gee, I don't know if I'm going to say this right. My first Spanish friend, my first Mexican friend, my first Latino friend. What word do I say, Jessica?
Essay. She was your first essay, man.
Well, I'll take any of those.
She taught me slang. I think you taught me orale vato.
Oh, yeah, probably.
Yeah. What does that mean?
What's that mean?
Oh, it's just like, hey there, dude, you know. A vato is a dude.
Yeah.
What's a devatas then?
A dudette?
Yeah.
No, I don't. No, you know what? Maybe a vata.
So, ole le vata?
Yeah.
Ole le vata.
Okay, enough of this. We got to get on to the other people here. Also on the phone, all the way from the United States of America, J-Rod's from the liberal California coast, and Dean McGlynn is our, he's also from a liberal part of the United States of America, but he's a wee bit conservative, this fella.
Yes.
Dean McGlynn on the phone. Dean, how you doing, man?
I'm very good, Drew. How are you? Timmer, how you doing?
And
Jeff,
hola.
Ore lavato.
Ore lavato, ese. Also on the phone is my camp counselor from way back when and the guy who helped start the Drew Marshall Show. So you can send all your hate mail to Gordo. Gordo, what's up, man?
Hey, how's it going?
Great to have... Gordo, do you have a cold?
No. Long story. Never mind.
Very cryptic. Oh.
Did you use one of those teapot kettle things?
Yes.
Pour up your nose?
Yes, I did.
That's funny. Anyway, Gord, J-Rod.
I'm not the only one this has happened to.
No. Gord, J-Rod, and Dean, it's time to get into the pub crawl here with Tim the Tool and myself. Let's start off with who is more important, 2,250 homeless Canadian veterans or 25,000 Syrian refugees? Gord, I want to throw this one to you right off the top. I know it's a cheeky way to ask the question, but it really is the question that everybody's asking, which is, you know, it's not that we're against having refugees come in here. It's just, don't we have more important uses of the money? Can't we use the money better? Can't we use it for people that are already in our country that need our help? And, Gord, your take on that?
Well, I don't think you can really say that people in our own country are more important than people elsewhere. I think.
Why not?
Well, because I think the needs are different. I'm not trying to downplay the needs of homeless veterans, but the needs of the Syrian refugees are pretty great as well. So I don't think you can say that, you know, one's more important than the other. We should look after our own more than something severe elsewhere. It's a tough call. I mean.
But you've just made a good point there, and I want to throw to Dean on this. The tough call, you just said that perfectly, Gord, because it is a call. You can't feed everybody. You can't help the entire world. It's not a big friggin' kumbaya party here. So Dean, just when it comes to vets versus refugees, homeless vets versus refugees, I mean, what happens in your gut when it comes to that?
I hear what Gord is saying about. Because I think the word important is interesting. What other people might get from that is some life worth more than another? Is a Canadian life worth more than a refugee's? Is an American life worth more than a Canadian's?
Right. Yeah.
Is a Leaf fan worth more than a Habs fan? Kind of thing. So it's not about worth. I think the issue is, and we face that here, what you're asking is responsibility. Am I responsible first to my kids or to my very own citizens? And then my responsibility trickles down to other people.
Right, and so what are you Americans doing? Like, that's a great point there, Dean, because...
So in a bicameral government, you've got liberals who, you know, we got to go help, and there's nothing wrong, listen, as Christians, we see that suffering, and some of it is immediate and needs to be helped, where maybe you can't make that case for a veteran who at least has a shelter or something like that, so I get a little bit of that, but I think, and wow, coming to election year, this kind of segues in, I think the populist thing is, hey, we got enough problems at home. Let's stop sending money over to other people whose government hates us and everything. There's all these other layers on top of it.
Right, right.
Sorry to interrupt, but I mean, that's true, and I agree with that. But then the problem becomes you're constantly going to be inward looking. You're always going to have problems that are going to stop you from looking elsewhere outside of your own problems to help others. And that's the downfall of that kind of point of view. We got to take care of our own first. You'll never fix your own problem completely.
But Jessica, I want to bring you in on this. Hold on, Dean. Jessica, as a mom, right, and a school teacher, you know, you can only pay the bills. The money only goes so far. And when the money gets tight, you want to take care of who first? Your family. And I think that's kind of what we're saying here is like, hey, listen, if we're citizens of one country, that's comparable to we are one family, and that's where you got to take care of things first. What's the vibe going on in Southern California for you guys?
Oh, man. I think that they are definitely I see a lot of people who, you know, going on to what Dean said about, you know, yes, we have to help our people here. We do have homeless vets. But I always have to wonder, like, how are they homeless in the first place? I mean, that's what I always go to. Like, how do they get to be homeless?
Right.
What is it? Is it mental illness? Is it, you know, what is causing them to be homeless? You know, why are they there? And so, I think that for me down here, I don't speak for, you know, the masses of Californians. I just know that in the type of community that I live in, I think that we do have to sort of help our own first, because we do have people who do need some help, you know, before we can take in others who need help.
Jessica, do you have any family members who have been in the service?
No.
Okay. I just, you know, sometimes that bends people's minds a little bit. Tim's busting his brain over here. What do you... Look, we've already got three guests on the show. What do you want?
Well, I think the other thing, at least up in here in Canada, is the reason the vets are so messed up right now is because the previous government gutted the system. So if we're supposed to be taking care of our own, we should have done it a long time ago.
See, Tim's not a big fan of Stephen Harper.
Well, Tim makes if we're going to get into why people are homeless, I really don't want to let that go because I think Gord made an excellent point about always looking inward. And I wouldn't be implying that I'm a big foreign policy person. I think at the end of the day, if you don't help people around the world, it's going to come back to bite you anyhow.
Yeah,
so I think that we need to do, and we are, and that being said, on a private level, there is nobody like Canada and America that feeds the world. And so that does get done. And there is that question to ask, like the poor will always be with you, if you will. To Gordy's point, what do you do about these people? I know in the case in Canada, the average veteran age is about 37, but the average age of the homeless veteran in Canada is 52. So these aren't your recent vets. These are older people that are falling out of the system. So there might be a fix there, well within your budget. And at the same time, you can also reach over and help the immigrants, or not immigrants, but
refugees.
What's the word?
Oh, technically,
refugees. Let me say one thing about the refugees, and then people have reported on this, has not been widely covered. Most of those refugees would prefer to stay done on that end of the globe, and we'd be better off really sending money to Jordan, who has been, and help them financially support those people. So I ask people the question all the time. If I was getting kicked out of my home, would I want to fly or be sent over to Afghanistan or someplace where I don't share their value system, I don't know the culture, I don't know the language, or would I prefer to be sent to, say, Canada or something like that until things settle down and then maybe repatriate myself? I prefer to be on the same continent, and then at that point the world should step in and say, Canada, if you would give refuge to these people, we will foot the bill. I think that's a better way to go.
Gordo?
Yeah, I agree with that. I mean, he makes an excellent point that people don't want to. I think there was a story recently on the news here that of somebody who I think was offered to come to Canada, but they didn't want to. It was just too far. So it's an excellent point. Let's help the people over there help their neighbors rather than try to reach out. But I think you have to do all of those things. I don't think you can just pick one. You have to try to find a way to do as much as you can all the time. And the homelessness issue, well, it's a whole other type of issue, and we have to deal with that as well, and that's a real problem. It's very sad to know that our own veterans are on the streets, living on the streets, and it's terrible.
Jessica, you and I were chatting the other day about the social media aspect in all this, and what role the social media plays in us, getting our information. And what's been your experience, finding out things about the refugees and because there seems to be a lot of mistruths out there. There's one thing going around up here anyway, Jessica, that says something like, the refugees are getting more money than our local people on welfare, and that turned out not to be true. What are you finding out down there?
There's a lot of that. I do see a lot of postings on social media about these refugees, and most of them being, of course, ISIS infiltrators and coming into the United States, and a lot of it's really ugly. I almost have to scroll past it because it's really ugly. It's really almost mongering, hate mongering towards these people, and assuming that all of them are ISIS, infiltrators trying to come in and, painting them all with the one brush instead of saying, look, a lot of these refugees are, some of them are, could be Christian, and some of them are, just seeking to be, to be free from the oppression of ISIS. It's not these evil people trying to come into our country. They also need help. But yeah, when I see that on social media, especially around here, it's a lot of it is negative towards those refugees.
Yeah. All right, guys. Let's yes, Dean McGlynn.
A little bit. I hear what Jessica's saying. There has been an issue many people have brought up. Of course, the front runner Trump has brought it up about not having him come over. There is a legitimate fear to say we have not been able to properly, when FBI director says we cannot properly vet these people, number one. Number two, we have a classic example of the Sarnaya brothers who were brought over here as refugees, who were given everything and somehow were easily radicalized and killed the main people in Boston. So it's not beyond, I get you don't paint with a broad brush and say they all can't come, but to say, hey, let's hold on a second and make sure we can properly vet them. And to Jessica's point, which I agree wholeheartedly about Christians, one guy in the race, which nobody even knows about anymore, sadly, is Jeb Bush says, there are Christians being martyred all over the world. Why don't we bring them in first? They are much more likely to assimilate to our society. And I know that bothers people that we're talking one religion over the other. But that's done all the time. People make those choices all the time about who they will have come into their country.
All right. To go from, what did we just talk about, vetting to vets? Something like that, yeah. I think. And now that was a lovely segue, Dean, into talking about Mr. Trump. So, Jessica, I want to go to you first on this. In the community that you're a part of, what's the conversation around Donald Trump down in your neck of the woods?
I don't think there are a lot of supporters of Trump around here that I've seen a lot. In fact, I was just at the beauty salon, and I was overhearing a woman talk about Trump and how afraid she is of Donald Trump and some of the things he says. And, you know, saying that, well, you know, if he is the presidential nominee for the Republican Party, then she may not even vote at all because she would rather not vote at all than vote for Trump. And I've heard that a couple times. So I think around in California is not much of a Trump supporter.
Isn't that interesting? Because California voted in Mr. Schwarzenegger, and people were shaking their heads about that one so many years ago. Gord, from a Canadian's point of view, every person I've spoken to up here just rolls their eyes when they hear the word Trump. As a matter of fact, they're talking about maybe they don't want Trump Tower to be called Trump Tower here in Toronto.
I like Donald Trump, but I don't think he should be in politics, but I like him.
That's really well said. I thought you were going to get weird on us there. Dean McGlynn, I mean, dude, you're a Republican, man. This is your boy.
Yeah, well, you know, our last time we spoke, he's not my boy. And to Jessica's point, there's a large group of people who are very afraid of him. Let's bear in mind, he's got negatives up in the 57%. There's a lot of people haven't made up their minds about him. Over 50% of Americans say that they would be embarrassed to have him as a president because he's bragging. But think about this. It's this ironic thing that this guy who is a billionaire and got it through inheritance to somehow become the avatar for the average man. Why? Because he talks in very common, brash language. You know, when he says we should bomb the beep out of them, that resonates with people. I would blame, you know, Tim's going to explode here. The present administration has left us feeling like, yeah, we don't get many wins. When I respect around the world, people step on us, and he has tapped into. I think he's an inch deep and 13 miles wide on his policies and everything else. He's totally vapid. You know, America's going to be great again. I'm going to build a wall and all that stuff. Most people cringe at that, but he has somehow tapped into this populist message that people are just, you know.
I don't think it's populist at all. I think it's prejudice.
Well, prejudice is populist.
No, not necessarily.
Down there it is.
Well, then you have to define it.
No. I'm not saying, I think you know, saying that they want to, there's plenty of people saying, well, what do we do about the border situation? And almost most Americans say, look, we need to somehow stop the inflow of illegal immigration. Let's be real clear here.
Who's going to take care of your gardens?
Americans have no problem with immigration, okay? Just like I have no problem with people withdrawing money from a bank. I do have a problem with people withdrawing money from a bank at the point of a gun. There's a vast difference between illegal immigration and immigration. We want immigrants. So we got to stop mixing that up. That somehow we hate people because we don't want people to come in here illegally. I mean, just like you're saying, to influx a lot of people into one area, it's a burden on everybody. So he's tapped it. So most people say, look, let's stop the illegal stuff. And that goes all over the border and all over the globe, if you will. And then let's fix it. Let's take care of the people who are here and that are here. Let's get we understand them with families. Let's make that work.
All right. So I want to bring hold on, Dean. I want to bring J-Rod in on this. Jessica Rodriguez. Well, that's not your name anymore, but it's your stage name right now. You're my first Latino friend, and where I grew up in California with you for you know, a good chunk of my life. Not a good chunk of my life, but it was an important part of my life. Boy, you know, illegal immigrants were the thing that kept the economy going. Is it still that way?
Yeah, there's a lot around here still. I mean, it's a lot harder now that they have kind of the border, some of the border, I guess, policies are a little tighter. I used to have students coming back and forth all the time, you know, from Mexico to back to California all the time. And a lot of that has stopped. A lot of parents are like, no, we can't go back, because if we go back to Mexico, we can't get back in. You know, it's a lot tighter. But I think as a person who grew up here and surrounded by the immigrants, you know, I don't know. I have friends who were immigrants. I have my neighbor who was an immigrant. She was brought over at the age of 9, and, you know, she's a productive member of our society. I work with people who were immigrants who were here illegally, but then went through the process to become legal. And although my neighbor is an illegal, and she works in a bank, and she's a productive member of society, and she's lovely, and, you know, that's a tough one for me.
Yeah. Yeah. Tim, you have something important to say, do you?
I always have something important to say. Once again, it's all many layers and stuff like that. And I think I take a little bit of, I don't want to say umbrage, I'm not sure the right word, with Dean's comment about, you know, taking things at the point of a gun. You know, when you have 30,000 gun deaths in the States in 1 year, maybe the illegal immigrant isn't the problem.
Oh, was that? Should I say snap at the end?
No. I just know that it's.
Now listen, let's get me on another show if you want to talk about gun issues. My point was, Jessica, I'm glad at the end tidied it up. She kept using the word immigrant. We're talking about illegal immigrants. And I understand. And listen, most people are on board with people who have been brought over here and so on and so forth and have been here for years and productive citizens. We want to get them. We want to get a pathway for them to at least become citizens or at least be. We'd love them all to be taxpayers and everything else. So that's my point. But what we don't want, the problem is once you say to 11 million people, okay, you can become citizens, and we did this once before, what do you think happens to the border? People all of a sudden, boom, they're over the border. And then we saw this when the president took down the guard, if you will, and said, well, we'll take care of anchor babies and things like that. In like 6 months, we saw like a 600-fold increase in people coming over the border. So what we're trying to say is at some point you have to hold up, you have to put stop influx at the border.
Right.
Let's keep the status quo at a million, and let's do something with them.
So an anchor baby is like you have a baby here in the States, so you can claim states citizenship. Is that what you mean?
That's right.
Okay.
That's right. So
I thought it might have had something to do with a sailor.
Every port.
No, I literally women coming over. This is documented. If I hurt people's feelings, I'm sorry. I'm just talking facts. People coming over.
Okay, Trump.
Delivering stateside. Hey, listen, we have friends that are Canadians that did that years ago. Went and delivered in Buffalo, and they had a dual citizenship from but they were legal. But once you're born here on this soil, you have a dual citizenship, and then you have to make a claim or whatever. And that has worked to their favor when they moved down to Florida.
Dean, can I just bring this up for a second here? Did you? This couple that you know that had went to Buffalo and had a baby, did she go into labor and then they drove across the border and had the kid, boom, on the other side?
Or are they just shopping?
I don't – listen, you know them too very well.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll leave it at that. I don't know, but let me put it this way. Her dad is a doctor. So was a doctor. I think he passed on by now.
I'm sorry. I got hijacked by that point of the story. I just thought, oh, the boiling water's broken. Let's go to Buffalo. You know, doesn't make sense. All right, listen.
There's a reason why a Canadian couple would want to have a baby in America.
Yeah, why would – it doesn't make sense because, you know – well, the dual citizenship. But then you can go back and have the free health care. Okay, final – I don't know why I just clapped. Final topic on our show, and it's not going to be a very long one, but it was one that kind of poked me in the brain. Oh, by the way, you're listening to The Drew Marshall Show. We're streaming live at drewmarshall.ca, and we're live right here in Southern Ontario on Joy 1250. A priest was suspended for riding a hoverboard up aisles during Christmas Eve Mass. I got to say, I watched the video.
Yeah.
It scared the tar out of me because
Why?
It looked like a poltergeist thing. He wasn't, there were no legs. He was just flying around in his robe and stuff and scared me. Anyway, and his singing was horrible too. But he, I think it was in the Philippines, and he handled the hoverboard really well. I mean, it must have been a lot of practice. or it was a spiritual gift or something. And he was going up and down the center row and the outside row and spinning around, and people were applauding. But here's what they said here. Congregation in Philippines are split after Catholic diocese condemns the priest's behavior as an attempt to capriciously introduce something to get the attention of the people. Because you wouldn't want that to happen in a church. You don't
want
to
have people paying attention.
No. So let me ask J-Rod here. J-Rod, as someone who kind of grew up in the Catholic stuff, what if your priest was flying around like a poltergeist on a hoverboard?
Well, where I live, I think it would be, I mean, Christmas Eve, probably not so much, but on any other Sunday Mass, maybe okay, as long as, you know, it's not during the whole, was it during the homily? That's one thing I could not figure out. Was it during the homily or was it during, you know, the end, during the collection? I don't know when this had happened. I couldn't find when he was doing this.
Well, what I read here is when it was right off the top, is at the very beginning. So here's the statement from the diocese last December 24th, because that's how they talk at the diocese. Mm-hmm. Last December 24th, before the final blessing of the Christmas Eve Mass, as a way of greeting his parishioners, the priest sang a Christmas song while going around the nave, standing on a hoverboard. That was wrong. That's what he said. That was wrong. The Eucharist demands utmost respect and reverence. It is the memorial of the Lord's sacrifice. It is the source and summit of Christian life. It is the church's highest form of worship. Consequently, it is not a personal celebration where one can capriciously introduce something to get the attention of people.
Well, imagine how quick you can get the sacraments on if you're on wheels.
Yes. I mean, yeah. Here you go. Here you go.
Here's
the bread
and wine. Bread and wine.
Popcorn, peanuts, hot dogs. Dean, what's your take on this?
Yeah, it sounds like, you know, having, as a young child, been a Catholic for a very short time, and then growing up in evangelical church, we're used to that kind of stuff. We want people to get attention, but it sounds to me like the Catholics still like their liturgy, and they found that this was, somewhat sacrilegious, if you will, that he did it, it did say the Eucharist, right? But I guess but his final greeting, they kind of felt that it was in poor taste, and why not? It doesn't, you know, for us, we kind of look at it with a, you know, we don't take it that seriously, but that kind of liturgy.
Sure, especially in the Philippines. I think it's a big, real big thing over there.
Yeah, they're definitely more, you know.
And Gord, any wise words of wisdom from the one and only Gordo?
Well, I think they got it wrong. You alluded to it earlier, Drew. He should not have been arrested but
for hoverboarding, for going too fast,
the hoverboard thing. But he should have been arrested for impersonating a singer. That was bad. Now, that was truly bad. That would have been more distracting than the hoverboard to me.
Yeah, that's right.
It's like that anthem singer that tripped over. He was skating and singing the national anthem before the hockey game,
and then wiped out.
Yeah, wiped out.
Yeah, that was good. That was good.
Well, listen. Though, I mean, we don't know the guy. We don't know what his personality is like. Like, the congregation would sort of know if that was sort of within his sort of personality and, you know, the kind of supposed charm that he offers his parish. But I don't know. I think they overreacted a little bit anyways.
Well,
I agree. I think it was a little bit of an overreaction. But I'm like, okay, this was Christmas Eve. Probably not the best time to, you know.
Why not?
That's when you got
kids, you got new people.
They're hoping for a gift like a hoverboard under the tree.
Yes. Yeah.
Good selling points.
The priest who got a hoverboard, why can't I have one?
Yeah. Jesus hovers.
Jesus hovers. No, he walked
on
water.
Yeah, you're right. You're right.
Yes.
My bad.
Got it straight. Hey, listen, Dean McGlynn, Gord Tranter, and J-Rod from Southern California. Appreciate you guys being on part of our show today. What I'm trying to say is I'm glad you're not on the entire show. No. Thank you for being on the pub crawl. It was good to chat with all three of you. Thank you very much, and all the best in the new year, kids.
All right. Thank you, Drew. Happy New Year.
Bye, guys. Bye.
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 All right. A short break on our show, and when we come back, ladies and gentlemen, Paul Henderson. His face is on a stamp.
I see trees of green, red roses too. I see them blue.